Hi there, and welcome to this special episode of Original Lines. I'm your host, Laura Allen.
And I'm your co-host, Phil Allen. Today, we're not just interviewing one artist, but five.
We'll be talking with participants in the upcoming Inscape Arts Open Studio. Inscape, in the International District of Seattle, is home to over 100 artists, and twice a year we open our doors to the public.
Inscape is one of the largest studios in Seattle, home to artists of all stripes, from Shakespearean theater to letterpress. In this special episode of Original Lines, we talk with several visual artists about their lives, their art, and their open studio experiences. First, we hear from Anastasia Zelensky in Studio 226 about why she chose a life in the arts.
I really love talking to people. When I was younger, I used to dance and play music, and I've always done art, and I kind of felt like at a young age I had to choose one thing to do. I don't really know why. I feel like we encourage that in this society where really we should be encouraging people to embrace all creative aspects of themselves. But one of the reasons why I think I went with visual art was because it was something where you could have long periods of time where you're by yourself to really work on something. You didn't necessarily need an audience all the time. But really, I get the joy from sharing my work and talking about it. And, since going to college, I've always had the idea that I wanted to promote like beauty and positivity. And so for me, open studios, like I love the coming in and talking to people and letting them know about my process and like letting them know that they could do it too. Like, it's really not that hard. Like, anybody can be an artist. You just really have to get over that block of, oh, I can't draw or whatever, and just start practicing, because it's really not about, I don't really think it's about how you draw. I think it's, or paint. I think it's about how you see and changing the way you see.
An open studio, especially a bigger one like Inscape's, is a chance for artists, non-artists, and everything in between to share that passionate way of looking at the world. Here's Carol Whitfield of Studio 128 on why she started photographing animals.
You know, it was Clooney. He was a teenage dog that needed a job. He's a poodle, so he's really smart. He's really handsome. And I was complaining to my husband that my iPhone pictures just were horrible and I wasn't getting the kind of photos I wanted. And my husband got me a grown-up camera, is how I call it. And I just went crazy learning it. And this was about, Clooney was a year and a half, so it was about 6 years ago now. What I realized is that Clooney really loved modeling, and that was the job he needed to help him get through his adolescence as well. So it just grew from there. And then I started having people ask me to photograph their animals, and I realized I finally found a way to explain to people, or to show people, what I see when I see animals. And I've always been kind of, and I think, thought of as a crazy animal person, and people have kind of teased me about how much I love animals. And I feel like photography now, I can show them, this is why I love them so much. Look at this expression and what they're doing, and so how much joy they bring to our lives.
Next, we talk with Kimberly Bala in Studio 127 about her unique painting process.
My name's Kimberly Bala. I do oil painting, and I create these abstract kind of landscapes. Some people would say that they look like a deep ocean terrain or planetary terrain. And then some people even say that they kind of look like these microbiology little worlds with amoeba-type figures and little cellulose. How I do it is I use a chemical process that I created my BFA year at Western Washington University. It's basically two oil mediums, oil paint and dry metallic pigment. Mm-hmm. I basically combine them in different ways to get different textures, and they make almost these fractal-type grooves and valleys through the paint.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a plan before you start a piece, or do you?
Yeah, I have a sketchbook, and I usually design like a rough design of how I want it to go, but it doesn't always go that way because the process is very chance-based. Mm-hmm. So I can control it mostly, but sometimes it gets a little out of hand.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's probably good, though. It's like good surprises, right?
Yeah, it's good surprises. Sometimes it's frustrating, but yeah.
Visiting an open studio gives people the opportunity to talk with artists at all stages of their careers and of the development of new projects. For most of us, art is a lifelong process, trying new things, learning new skills, and finding new ways to say the things that we want to say. Here's Tara McDermott in Studio 305.
After I left school, I went to the Photographic Center Northwest, and they had a really fun workshop that Nicole Dement, she now runs COCA, Center on Contemporary Art in Seattle, taught at the Photo Center, and I took it back in 2009. It was a mixed media photography and encaustic workshop, so it was a good introduction to something alternative that you can do with photography beyond just an image on paper that you frame and put in glass. So I was really excited when I took that because it allowed the photography to kind of just be the only thing you saw. You didn't see the glazing, you didn't see the glare, you didn't see the matting or the frame, you just saw the image because it could be full frame. So I was really intrigued with that, and I really liked some of the interesting effects that you can get with adding the wax. It kind of changed the properties and just made it a little bit more kind of unique and unusual. I just love what you can do with adding the wax, adding the texture, having it be as large or as small as you like, but it makes something that's a reproducible medium into something that's one of a kind and original, which is, as a photographer, really nice to say that it's unique. And I liked the idea of having something that was not reproducible.
So we've been talking a lot about Inkscape Open Studio. You've been an artist your whole life. What other places have you been that have something similar, or what are your experiences with other open studios and other places?
Honestly, this city has the most active art scene of a city that I've lived in. I've lived in Dallas. I've lived in multiple larger cities, and this one has the most active. I like to call it an artistic ecosystem that I've ever experienced, from kind of top to bottom, the funding for community level art up through galleries that show artists from every stage, like from emerging to mid-career to top. And then we have like really top of the line international galleries here too. It's all pretty active. I mean, there's an art walk almost every Thursday and some Saturdays of the month here, and they're big events too. Oh, Inkscape Open Studio is only twice a year, but like the TK building in Pioneer Square opens once a month. And it's not quite as big a building as this, but it's almost as big. I mean, and you count the galleries and everything and all the spaces down there. Ballard has an art walk. Georgetown Art Attack if you're looking to get out and get involved and do something, like actually get out and like make that part of your lifestyle, is like going and visiting, and that's, hey, that's a thing we do. We go have a beer, we go to the art walk, whatever. You have ample opportunity to do it. Which also gives artists ample opportunity to show their work, to sell their work, to be involved. Because it really is a lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. The whole thing. I mean, you know, it's not like this is my job and I go home from it when you're an artist. It doesn't quite work that way.
Right. You go and you do your 9-to-5, making art, getting art to where it needs to be. And then you go and you do your... you go and you visit other people's exhibits. You go to your own exhibits. You have your own openings. You have your own. Yes, I know it's a lifestyle. It is 24/7.
Yeah, it really is. And so having a city where there's this much going on, it's really good. I'm really grateful to be here in this environment. I mean, you have the organizations like Four Culture and Artist Trust and Shumpike actually here in the building. I mean, all of these things are that many charitable organizations that help support the arts at various stages aren't possible in a city that values art less.
Yeah.
It's quite obvious from most of the city support, most of the community support, that the arts in general are valued pretty highly in this area. And I love that. I love that about Seattle.
Yeah.
What about you? What's it like having to live with an artist's lifestyle? I mean, how do you...
Before we got married, I didn't have a lot of experience in the artistic world. Switching over to it, I realize, especially here in Seattle, it is astounding how much variety there is in art. It's easy to go to a museum and think that you've seen like the entire variety of art in the world, but then museums tend to have like certain focuses on what kind of art they're going to show. But if you go out into the world, into people's studios, into art walks, into coffee houses, into any place where they're showing original art, you will start to see that the art world is a lot wider than you could possibly ever imagine. I have seen so many amazing things in just the last year, and that's even after I've been going to, you know, to gallery openings and to shows and to, so I don't have the background in the art world that you do, but even now, I can almost guarantee that sometime this month, I'm going to see something that blows my doors off.
Yeah. What was the last thing that you saw?
That's a tough one, but the one that stands out most in my mind right now is Tara Tamarabuchi. So you and I were going to, I think we were going to see a musical down Seattle Center, and we just happened upon Tara's installation. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's the one with the camouflage nets made of, it's a, you know, this big installation with camouflage nets made out of these colorful kimono fabrics. And just the idea that it was obviously this camouflage net, but then made from all these amazing colors. And then the way that they had it set up, it almost looked like a military bunker. And just to just happen upon that, not to be in the middle of a museum, but just walking, having a conversation, and then boom, here's this giant art piece in front of you. That really stands out.
Yeah, cool. I like that piece too, by the way. It was Howl's Moving Castle, by the way.
Oh, the musical?
Yeah, that's what we were going to see.
That's another example of some amazing piece of art that we've seen lately. I love that. Inspiration can come from the artistic process, the subject matter, everyday life, or even the medium itself. Next, we talk with Patan in Studio 423 about her inspiration to make crayon art.
I volunteer at Children's Hospital, and I've been volunteering there for, I think, almost 6 years now. And one of the things you have to do is your job there at the end of your shift is you have to sanitize everything. Mm-hmm. Well, they said magazines and some of the paperback books and crayons all go in the garbage. And because of the paper, there's no way to sanitize them. So I saw all these beautiful color crayons going in the garbage that were barely used or not even used at all. And when one kid touches them, we don't know whether they've touched them or coughed or sneezed or what, you know, on them. So they get swept up and thrown in the garbage. I had asked my director, I said, is there a way we could collect these for me? And I'm going to figure out a way to make art with them. She said, sure. And then I started Googling crayon art. And I started to try to think outside the box, and I came up with trying to keep them organic and whole, and I started gluing them together and shaping these animals. So yeah, but it's evolved to crushing the crayons and now using the paper off the crayons, and so I've applied it in many different ways, and I'm working on a project for Children's Hospital to raise money now with these pieces, and I'm going to do a benefit event where they'll be auctioned off. And I'm building 14 pieces, and I'm on number 10 right now.
So what are you working on for this one?
The coral reef. And I'm hoping to start the polar bear, too. But, you know, that one I'm hoping will be in progress by the time the Open Studio comes around.
The Inscape building has a long and fascinating history. Before it was converted into artist spaces in 2012, it was the home of the U.S. Immigration Services and Assay offices. For decades, it was used as a detention facility and processing station for immigrants from all over the world. Now it's the home of more than 100 artists. Here's Anastasia Zielinski of Studio 226 talking about a site-specific installation that she's installed on the west stairwell.
So I've been in Inscape Arts since August 2013. This is hands down my favorite studio I've ever been in. It's such a beautiful building, but I also feel like with its history, it kind of has these the weird institutional feels to it still. And with the installations I've done in the building so far, I've wanted it to reflect like all the creative endeavors that actually happen in Inscape Arts. And I feel like you can see that like when you're walking around the hallways, but to get up and down the floors, you're stuck in the stairwells that are still kind of really institutional. And we actually have a lot of natural beautiful light that comes through there. So I just wanted to activate the stairwell and kind of play with the light that was coming in. And I'd been thinking about it for a while that I wanted to do something that was hanging, that would kind of play with like the movement of people walking by in the breeze. So that's where that came from, just wanting to brighten up the space.
Inscape Open Studios this summer is on June 9th from 11 to 5 in Seattle's International District. If you're going to visit, and you really should, check us out in Studio 205. You can find out more about Two Ponies Press, original lines, and the people behind it. As a bonus, we'll have postcards in our studio with information on the artists featured in this podcast, as well as any Inscape residents featured in previous podcasts. And whether or not you can make it to Open Studio, you can download Original Lines podcast on iTunes or Stitcher on either iPhone or Android. Hit subscribe, and we love reviews.
And we're back. Here's Tara McDermott of 305 again with a look at some of the art that she'll be showing at this Open Studio.
I'll probably be showing some works from a couple different series. I have Kenosium, which is kind of a relationship of plants with other plants. So it's kind of a similar to what I'm doing with a mixed media work where I have kind of a collage of two different images together, one above the other. Another series I'm also working on are just real minimalist, full frame, a lot of negative space images, which are similar to the previous series, but they're just complete in and of itself, like the perfect composition, but with a lot of negative space. And I've also been working on kind of these strange, for me, it's kind of documentary style of strange suburban plant life that I've been photographing, which you've seen, this really strange red ivy overgrowth that went from the street all the way up to telephone lines and was just incredibly large. So that kind of got me started on this series. And I'm now, when I'm driving around looking for nice, perfect compositions, I'm looking for really strange things that people have growing in their yard. So I kind of have a combination of those three, plus I'm still working on those mixed media pieces, the ones on the rice paper that I'm going to do kind of like a gradation as a more of an installation direction. So probably a little bit of everything. It'll be a little bit of a hodgepodge.
Open Studio is often the perfect time for an artist to display personal projects. We talked with Carol in Studio 128 about her pet project, horse photography.
That's my goal, is to show some of my horse work. My horse work often takes the sidelines to my other pet work because it's more of a personal project for me. So as well as I have another project I'm working on, which is a studio dogs project, which I'm hoping to frame and get displayed for Open Studios as well, which is basically I have several dogs that have taken it's a war on one of my toys. I call it my monster toy in my studio, that it's just really funny that the dogs, the expression on the dog's face and the expression on the monster's face, it's just, it tells its own story in and of itself. So I'll probably have a combination of both, which are very different styles, but I'll do the same thing, show animals being who they are.
And now we'll go back to Kimberly Bala of Studio 127, who tells us a bit about some of her new projects.
I have probably two new pieces that will be up. They're similar to my last series that I was doing. They're like an abstract deep water or landscape kind of thing. I also have some newer line series that I've been working on, which is, it's a newer series. I'm thinking more about time, place, different dimensions or realities when doing the work. I use a lot of line work, taping, to make those different segmented boundaries to represent the different realities and the different times that are going on in the pieces. It's a newer series. I've only done probably about 7 pieces, maybe 5 that I'm happy with. So, but I'm going to be continuing that and probably do more larger scale pieces.
I think one of my favorite things about Open Studio, since how many have we done this now?
I think we've done at least like 6 or 7 by now.
Yeah, maybe more than that. We've been here for 4 or 5 years and we've done almost all the Open Studios. And it's seeing the progression of the people that actually stay here, and because there's turnover in a building like this, but there are also people that have been here the whole time, and seeing the the progression of people's work, watching other people and see how their work changes and moves and their how they develop projects is really interesting to me, not only as an artist, but as a collector, you know, and as a spectator, I guess. It's really interesting to watch development.
Yeah, I've actually seen that from both sides, going in to some of the artists around here. And, you know, we've been to a bunch of these, so we, you know, I can go in and often remember what they had, you know, last time or the time before that and see what direction their art's going. But then I also get to see it as people come into your studio and they go and comment on the stuff that you've been working on and how your work is progressing. And that's really interesting to see because, you know, a lot of times we see some of the same people come in every year. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is neat. That is also another of my favorite parts is we have the regulars. If you're listening, a couple who really likes our cheese plate, thank you. We're glad you enjoy it. We like it too. We have one couple we see often. They're like, you have the best cheese plate. And I'm like, yeah, we like cheese. So, so we're going to put out a good cheese plate, but that's good having regulars. We have several regulars that I like to see every time. So,
and one of the things we've learned is the value of a good cheese plate.
Absolutely. I have a couple of suggestions. If you've never been to an open studio before, and Phil, you just chime in here because you've done it from both sides. These are like, you've been there in the studio. And anyway, I have a couple of suggestions. One, start at the top floor and work your way down. This is a really big building with more than 100 artists. Now, not everybody will open, but it's, when you go to one of these things, whether it's Inscape or whether it's at the TK building in Pioneer Square, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And sometimes you have to give yourself little incentives. And if you start at the top floor and work your way down, you'll definitely have a better chance of actually seeing most of the floors.
Also, because it's going to be the summer, if you start at like 11 or 11 when we open, or around 12 o'clock or something, it'll still be nice and cool on the fourth floor. Whereas if you start at the basement and you work your way up, it's just going to be getting warmer and warmer and warmer the higher up you go. So you start up high where it's nice and cool, and then you work your way down where it stays cool.
And another one is definitely talk to the artists. I mean, people, you know, there'll be a couple of people that they either aren't, you know, they're just not that good at talking with just random strangers, or they're having a bad day or whatever. But for the most part, those of us that are open, we love questions. We love it when you come in, you say, oh, how did you do this? Or what made you think of this? And what does this mean? There's no stupid questions. I mean, we're all just out here for the love of art. And interest, even if it's interest that's sort of puzzled interest, even if it's interest that you're asking questions, it's a boon to us. I mean, it's just like it's great. We love it when you ask questions. So please, yeah, Talk to the artists. They won't bite.
Also talk to the podcasters, the people in the back, and you can ask questions about how in the heck do you guys go about making these things?
Yeah. This will be our first open studio with me with the shared studio. I have my artwork out in one half of it in our podcast area, and all of our Two Ponies Press stuff is in another part. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll actually have our whole little corner where we record all these things all. Actually, it probably will not be set up with microphones, but it'll still be mostly set up.
Yeah.
And here's Tara's favorite open studio story.
Gosh, it's so much fun just meeting so many people. There's, you know, the people that kind of look through, they're afraid to come in the building. They're afraid to come in the open door, and I'm always encouraging them to come in. You know, we don't bite. Come on in. The door's open for a reason. I love showing work to new people that haven't seen it before. I think two open studios ago, there was this young couple, and they were so adorable. This is the first original art they'd ever bought. They bought a small little piece of mine. It was mixed media and caustic on panel, and you know, they were so adorable. And after they bought it, a friend told me that they unwrapped it, held it up, and were doing, you know, images to put on Instagram because they were so excited they bought their first original artwork. And that was kind of amazing to see someone who didn't understand or know much about art buy their first piece.
The open studio experience is different for different artists. Some love it, some tolerate it, and some just don't like that much exposure. Some actually find it inspiring, and not just artistically. Here's Carol Whitfield in 128 again on her first open studio experience.
I think it was my first open studio I did. was the most interesting for me because I was pretty stressed out. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just threw up some pictures I'd had on canvases. And I was going through questioning this career decision I've made of, you know, have I lost my mind? I photograph animals for a living. and at the same time, there is a lot of turmoil going on in our country and so that was affecting me. And so I opened my studio, and what I didn't realize was how much joy that animals bring to people. It's like people would walk into my studio and they would just light up. And it wasn't, I don't know if it was because my photography is, you know, if it's my photography. What I do know is that it's the expressions and the joy they see in the animals that they saw, that, or the animals, they connected with them in some way. And so it made me feel really good that I was bringing joy and happiness in a time that was kind of not that joyful. Right. So it helped re-inspire me to stick with what I'm doing.
And that's about it for our special episode on Inscape's Open Studio. We hope to see you there. And to close, we'll hear from one of our guests about what being an artist means to her. Here's Patan from Studio 423.
I don't know, it's been an interesting journey being an artist because I've done so many different things, you know, and I tell people I kind of change like our weather around here. It just, whatever falls, it inspires me to go with it. Like, you know, I didn't know I was going to do this grand thing at all. I mean, before I was doing murals and I'd done photography and I've done stained glass. I mean, I've done a lot of different stuff. So it's been a very interesting journey, but I'm very happy. I love my life. I wouldn't change it for anything.
And that's it for this special episode of Original Lines. A big thanks to Kimberly Bala, Carol Whitfield, Anastasia Zielinski, Tara McDermott, Patan, and of course our special co-host, Phil Allen. Find out more about the Inscape Open Studios at www.inscapearts.org or on pretty much any social media. Please check out our other podcasts too, featuring artists, writers, and other fabulous creatives at twoponiespress.com. This has been a production of Two Ponies Press. I'm your host, Laura Allen. Thanks for listening.
So your one of your latest series is focused on centaurs. Have you considered cat people?
I have cat-tars. I have actually considered cat-tars very seriously